11 o'clock in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford will soon ask Congress for Mideast military and economic aid, now that final approval for the use of American technicians in the Sinai has been given. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president on Monday signed that resolution authorizing the assignment of 200 American civilians to early warning stations in the desert. In signing the measure, the president said he's going to ask Congress for something else.
I will soon consult Congress on what is required to sustain these bilateral relationships, just as the administration has consulted Congress very fully over the past month on the latest diplomatic step, including the use of United States civilians to further the peace process. We anticipate the same support and understanding by the Congress.
The president also said the United States wants to maintain a diplomatic offensive in the Middle East in order to sustain the momentum toward peace generated by the Sinai agreements. Two top Israeli officials say the chances of any kind of a settlement with Syria do not look good. Foreign Minister Yigal Allon said the Syrians do not appear to be interested in either an interim or a final peace agreement. Defense Minister Shimon Peres said the belligerent tone of recent statements from Syria did not augur well for peace efforts. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Near Salem, Illinois, Monday night, heavily armed police using bloodhounds captured two of four escaped convicts from the maximum security federal prison in Marion, Illinois. They were caught after they'd gone to doors of homes in the area asking for water. They said they'd had none since Saturday. Two others who escaped with them remain at large. A fifth escapee was caught over the weekend. Republican Senator John Tower of Texas is trying to get support for a proposed anti-busing amendment to the Constitution. It would forbid the use of forced busing to achieve racial balance in the public schools. In Austin, Texas, Tower said he is not against school desegregation itself.
We should have desegregation. We should have integration. But that doesn't mean forced busing to achieve racial balance. As a matter of fact, forced busing really flies in the teeth of the Brown decision that desegregated the schools. Because what did the Brown decision say? It said the students should not be assigned on the basis of race or color. When you're busing, that's precisely what you're doing.
Tower showed reporters a copy of a letter from President Ford supporting the proposed anti-busing amendment. President Ford is doing more traveling on Tuesday. He'll fly to Hartford, Connecticut to take part in a Republican fundraising affair and try to win support for his proposed $28 billion tax cut, coupled with that federal spending reduction of the same amount. Paul O'Neill, Deputy Director of the Office of Budget and Management, says the Ford administration has drawn a list of more than $28 billion in proposed budget cuts. O'Neill would not talk about specifics where the president wants to cut spending, but he did say all major areas of the federal government are involved, including defense spending. Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau of Canada Monday night announced imposition of a strict program of wage and price controls in his country to fight inflation. Trudeau said wage hikes will be limited to 10% a year and price hikes limited to that necessary to cover increased production costs. Emperor Hirohito of Japan has ended his visit to the United States. The emperor and his wife, Empress Nagako, should be back in Tokyo about 3 hours from now. They left Honolulu getting a 21-gun salute as their plane departed. Now this.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals. Most wines go with your meals, but Dubonnet goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that's right for your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. The distinctive taste of Dubonnet before makes what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Governor George Wallace of Alabama Monday night met in London with British Prime Minister Harold Wilson. London is the first stop on a tour of Western Europe being undertaken, according to some, as a prelude to a Wallace candidacy for president. Wallace was quick to tell reporters his health is no problem. Wallace, crippled by that 1972 assassination attempt, said he'd been on the move all day with very little sleep and felt fine. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Before we get to KOIN News, one quick note. If you were going to call regarding those Elton John tickets, I just got a call from Eric. He says the phone has rung off the hook ever since we last announced it, and he's gotten rid of the tickets. So please don't call anymore regarding the Elton John tickets, and if you wanted some, good luck. I hope you get them. In KOIN News, a Tualatin motorist, 44-year-old Roy Brannick, suffered a mild stroke today in his car, hence crashed into the women's restroom at the Tualatin branch of First National Bank of Oregon. Bank officials say that the restroom was empty when the accident occurred at 10:15 in the morning. Brannick, meanwhile, reported in stable condition at a U.S. Veterans Hospital here in Portland. Well, it's dank, smelly, and cramped. Rooms at the Western Rooms Hotel off Burnside on 2nd are only cubicles about 80 feet by 5 with a shelf for sleeping, chicken wire topping the open enclosure. Now, it is to protect the occupant from tossed wine bottles. At the hotel today, Congressman Les Aucoin talked with John Price and his friends. They're worried about where they're going to live.
They're trying to close this place down. They're all the sort of guys here. We got no place to go.
We're all afraid of the
quarter now.
Is that what it is, dollar quarter?
Yes.
I heard it was 90 cents, so...
No, it's dollar quarter. But...
No, I don't know where it's up on the bridge or the weeds.
Aucoin, a member of the Housing and Community Development Subcommittee in the House of Representatives, was looking at Portland's Burnside community today to see if housing programs are really working and if other programs may be needed. Charles Jordan, 38, who became the first black elected to the city council in 74, announced today he will seek a full 4-year in the May 1976 primary. I'm going to run so hard I want to get it over with in May, he said. And, despite one of the driest Septembers on record, the State Department of Forestry reported fire on state-protected lands in 1975, about one-half the usual loss, at 3,270 acres. Drizzle in the morning, increasing clouds Wednesday, lows in the upper 40s, high both days 60 to 65. That's the weather forecast. A chance of rain 10% tonight through tomorrow night, 54 degrees in the Rose City. That's Radio 97 News. It's 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, bellwether of the flock that assembles here for ceremonies in the mysterious and the macabre. Anyone will tell you that it's impossible to foretell the future, to predict the outcome of events that have not yet happened. That is, anyone with even a modicum of common sense. And yet, if this is so, why does a vast majority of mankind try so desperately to do it? Why do people who, in other respects, are reasonably sane, risk their substance in the belief that they can foretell which stock will go up, which horse will win a race, and where the wheel that turns round and round will finally come to rest? Why? If we only knew.
Oh, Mr. Stretch and Mr. Chadwick.
And may we come in? Clarence, we have a problem.
What sort of problem, Mr. Stretch?
We must decide whether or not to let you live.
But...
You owe us $50,000.
I'll pay it.
When? How? Your only chance is Miss Penelope Meadows.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Marry Penelope Meadows.
Not her. Oh, no.
Miss Meadows has $50,000 and more.
It's not worth it.
You mean it's, not worth your life?
mystery drama, The Last Lesson, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Fred Gwynn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
In case you've forgotten how much fun driving can be, Buick would like to introduce you to Skylark, a small car that's all Buick, with room, comfort, and an engine that no other compact car in America offers, the incredible Buick V6. Skylark, it's free spirit made practical.
America has so much to overcome. Hard, concrete problems that only knowledge can resolve. Will you help us overcome them by giving to America at the very source of her future? Give to the college of your choice now.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 and made life miserable for people in Germany. And that's why the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, was formed. It began by helping refugees from Hitler's Germany and went on to help millions more in World War II. But its work didn't end there because war and oppression didn't end there. You remember the brave Hungarians who stood up to the Russians in 1956? Well, IRC helped many who escaped. And since then, IRC has come to the aid of thousands who have escaped from Cuba, China, East Germany, Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. It also does its work in countries ravaged by war. But IRC needs money for food, clothing, and medical care, to reunite families, to find people jobs, and homes for children without homes. So please, help the people who help. Send your money to this address, International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
Life is a matter of reconciliation. On a spiritual level, we must reconcile our dreams with reality. On a practical level, we must reconcile our income with our outgo. A difficult matter at best. And you can imagine the problem it poses for Clarence Porter. Clarence is 40-ish and stylish, handsome, well-spoken, charming, a prince of good fellows, but he is no judge of horseflesh, nor is he able to predict the fall of the ball at roulette or the draw of the card at blackjack. And so, Clarence, as they say, is strapped.
Oh.
Is that all you can say, Clarence?
Oh. Come in, Mr. Stretch.
Clarence, meet an associate of mine, Mr. Chadwick.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Chadwick is my silent partner.
Glad to meet you, sir.
No, Clarence. You will not be glad you met Mr. Chadwick, believe me.
Fix you gentlemen a drink?
We never drink on the job.
The job?
Oh. Were you under the impression this is a social call? We're here to collect the money.
The money? Mm. Oh, yes. Well, I happen to be a little tight at the moment.
Ah, but this is the moment. The particular moment. The agreed-upon moment.
Yes, I...
Clarence, Mr. Chadwick and I have a problem. Do you know what it is? We must decide whether or not to kill you.
Now, just a minute.
Emotionalism is hardly conducive to rational analysis.
I want to pay you.
Of course you do, but the question is, can you?
I'll pay.
How? Please list your assets.
Well, I've...
No assets. Prospects?
At this time...
Yes?
I'm sure something will turn up.
No prospects at all?
Please, Mr. Stretch.
Clarence, I've been frank with you.
I know, and I do appreciate that.
And now, you had better get your jacket.
Where are we going?
I'm not quite sure. Mr. Chadwick has various places
No.
Well, Clarence, a gentleman may lack for many things, but he can always have his dignity.
Wait,
what for?
Prospects. Now that I think...
Yes?
There may be a prospect.
Oh, I hope so, Clarence. Believe me.
Why? Why didn't I think of it before?
What is your prospect?
If it's the only way to save my life, I guess I'll have to do it.
Do what?
Get married. It sounded like a marvelous idea. Except that rich, unmarried ladies are rather like policemen or taxicabs. There's never one at hand when they're really needed. The only lady I could think of at the moment was Penelope Meadows. Penny. She had several million dollars, and she wasn't too bad looking. But there was so much of her. She was 6 feet, 2 inches tall, and built to scale.
I'm gonna move you around a bit, Clarence. And how'd you like that one? Trying to put it away, are you? Or if you're getting old and fat, look, Finette. Now go back. Ah, back to this game, set, match.
Yeah, you were great, Penny. Just great.
Well, you better sit down before you collapse.
I need a drink.
Of course. Milk. You have to pile up the protein. Waiter, 2 milks, please. Well, old fella, your tennis was abominable, as usual.
Penny.
Oh, no.
How do you know what I'm going to say?
Well, when you get that look on your face, I'm sure it has to be something foolish.
I love you.
I was right.
Penny, I love you.
It's impossible.
Why do you say it's impossible?
Well, 2 reasons. First, it's only possible for you to love yourself.
No, that's not fair.
Well, it may not be fair, but it's true. You see, Clarence, old boy, you're a rogue, a rascal, and a scoundrel. I mean, you're completely self-centered. You're irresponsible, shallow, reckless, lazy.
But you have to admit, aside from that, I'm nice.
Oh, yes, Clarence, in a superficial way.
I'm attractive.
Yes, you have a surface charm.
Penny, I love you.
Mm. Well, the second reason why that's impossible, you see, nobody could really love me.
Oh, Penny.
Well, look at me. I'm sort of... No, I'll say it. I'm big.
Well, generous.
Gawky.
Nevertheless, you are quite graceful.
Mm.
I love you.
You love my money.
Well, why not? The money's part of you. Penny, I won't deny it. Many of the things you said about me are true. But that was all before we met. Because of you, my life is now changed.
Oh, Clarence, do you expect me to believe this?
Penny, darling, I know you have a feeling for me, too. I sense it. Marry me.
Clarence Porter, I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on Earth.
And let me tell you something, Penny. If I were the last man on Earth, and I could choose among millions of women, I would still choose you.
Oh, well, you do have a certain charm, Clarence. But I have no intention of getting married. Now, even if I loved you, which I assure you, I do not.
Why?
Well, I don't want to belong to anyone. And I don't want anyone to belong to me.
But these days, people don't belong to each other. Each can go his or her own way.
Well, then why get married?
Give yourself a chance to know love. Find out for yourself that it's love that makes the world go round.
Thank you, waiter. Oh, and doesn't that look delicious? So rich and creamy.
Don't be afraid of love.
Oh, drink your milk, Clarence.
Don't miss the sweetness.
Clarence, old sport, you're wasting your time.
The tenderness.
Clarence, you're becoming a bore.
She was my last hope. And now I would have to leave town. Yeah, perhaps it wasn't the worst thing. After all, the willingness to strike out in new directions, find new opportunities, new frontiers, was the spirit that motivated our pioneer ancestors. I had done it before. I could do it again. Oh.
Yes, Clarence. Once again, it's time to say, oh. Going on a trip, I see.
Who? Me? Oh, no.
Why are those bags packed?
The bags?
Hmm.
Oh, the bags. I've got some old clothes that I'm taking to a church rummage sale.
I'm all for charity, Clarence. But it should begin at home.
You know perfectly well I'm working very hard at getting your money.
How did the marriage thing go today?
Marriage?
Hmm.
Oh, that. Well, she's crazy about me.
She is.
And any day now, she'll be ready to say yes.
She will.
I told you, her name is Penelope Meadows.
We checked her financial standing.
Well, then, everything's just fine, isn't it?
Of course. It isn't possible that you're packing in preparation for a, departure?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm going to pop the question tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Certainly have to be here to do that, don't I? Excuse me.
No, permit me. Mr. Porter's apartment. Yes? Thank you, I'll tell him. Well, now, that was the doorman of all people. He says to inform you that the car has been checked and it's out front and ready for your trip.
Oh, there must be a mistake.
No doubt. Well, Mr. Chadwick and I are ready, Clarence.
Look, please, why? Why can't you give me another chance?
Another chance. She turned you down, unfortunately. Which is why you decided to leave town.
What are you going to do to me? Look, you won't get anything at all if you kill me.
That's where you are wrong. We get a great deal. That's where your value is now. When you, when your remains are found tomorrow, people will know why, and it will encourage certain lackadaisical folk to acquire a sense of urgency, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yes. I knew what he meant. I looked at their faces, their cold, hard, cruel faces. There was no appeal. There was nothing I could say to them. And as they stepped forward to take me by the arms, I, for the very first time in my life, I prayed. Please, please give me another chance. Get me out of this somehow, and I'll never get into this kind of trouble again. Never. Never.
Who's that?
I don't know.
You mustn't make a sound. Perhaps they'll go away. I'm afraid we'll have to do that. Let her in. And we shall be watching and listening from the kitchen. I advise you to be discreet.
I'm coming.
Please, let me in. Clarence, you simply must save me.
Save you, Penny?
Oh, I know. I'm sure you must despise me after all the tactless things I said this afternoon, but I'm in trouble, terrible trouble, and there's only one way I can get out of it. You'll have to marry me.
I'll have to what?
Marry me, Clarence. Marry me. Right now.
Now?
Yeah. It's 3 o'clock. The license bureau closes at 6, or is it 5 or 4? We must hurry.
Oh,
Was it only a joke? When you proposed to me this morning, I mean, you did propose, you know, and I accept, Clarence. I mean, I must marry you. You know why?
You love me.
Well, if I don't get married, I can lose my inheritance.
Why?
See, it comes from my uncle. He was a great believer in marriage, and I just found out. There's a clause in his will that states if I'm not married by the age of 35, I forfeit all my rights.
You just found out?
Yeah, tomorrow I shall be 35. See, so now I only have till midnight tonight.
Well, then, come on, let's hurry.
Clarence, old man, now I must be truthful. I don't know if I'm marrying you because, well, you know, you're the only one I can get a hold of in such short notice, or if I really, truly, and honestly...
Oh, darling, believe me, this marriage was made in heaven. It was just made in heaven.
Where else? If you consider what the extremely fortuitous arrival of Miss Penelope Meadows has meant to Clarence Porter, you might conclude that his troubles are over. However, this goes against all conventional wisdom, for everybody knows that when a man marries, his troubles begin. But this will be the business of Act Two, which I shall bring to you in just a few moments.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. How many yards are in a mile? How big is an acre? What's the difference between troy and avoirdupois weight? How big is a rod and what is a peck? You're not sure? Well, most people share your confusion. But it won't be long before all these units of measure become only a memory, because soon the United States is going metric. You know, the metric system already is used more than most people realize. Cigarettes are advertised as 100 millimeters long. Many people have 35 millimeter cameras. And many canned and packaged goods list weight in both ounces and grams or liters. There'll be plenty of time to get used to the new system. In the meantime, for example, a 12-inch ruler will also show 34 millimeters. And for more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234. A tip from your Better Business Bureau.
200 years has given us something deep inside. Has given Marines, Marine Corps pride, pride in ourselves, pride in the Corps, and pride.
Years ago, every Marine was needed full-time. Today, you can be a Marine and serve part-time in a good job at good pay in the Marine Corps Reserve. After basic training, it's 2 days a month near your home and 2 weeks away in the summer. The Marine Corps Reserve. The extra money will come in handy now. The pride will stay with you all your life. Go for pride. See a Marine recruiter.
200 years, 200 years. 200 years.
Marriage, as we idealize it, is based on romantic love. Marriage, as a practical way of life, should also be rooted in self-interest. Did two people ever need each other more than Clarence Porter and Penelope Meadows? She needed him to preserve her fortune. He needed her to guarantee his life. Certainly, we have here the basis for an enduring relationship. Or do we?
You know how it is. We make certain promises under the pressure of certain situations. And then we discover we may have been a bit hasty. Oh, yes, I prayed and I promised I would follow a different kind of life. I did say I would experience a change of heart. But what can you do with the heart? It has a life of its own, and it didn't want to change. Meanwhile, I must say my bride bloomed, blossomed, flourished as a result of our marriage.
Have some more goat's milk, Clarence.
I'm just not very hungry this morning, my dear.
Oh, now. One must be prepared to face the world bravely, ready at all times for a fight or a frolic. Proteins, my darling, proteins. Milk, cheese, nuts, beans.
Yes, dear.
Clarence, old sport. You were right.
About what?
Everything. You were right about love and marriage and... Well, that's everything. I'm so happy. I never knew what I was missing.
Yes, yes, dear.
Well, now what shall we do today?
I was thinking we might go to the track.
The race track?
It was just an idea.
The race track? It's infested by the lowest elements.
Some of the very best people can be found at...
Well, now, Clarence, if you're looking for thrills...
Well, I'm not really looking for thrills.
I know exactly where we can go.
But we don't have to go anywhere.
Oh, but we must. You've got to be on the move, up and about, or you'll develop hardening of the arteries.
I should live that long. 2 hours later, I was dangling precariously in the sky, 1,000 feet above the earth, in what is called a free balloon. There we were, in a little wicker basket suspended from a huge sphere filled with air, and there was a crazy kind of stove contraption to heat up the air, or whatever it was, inside that silly balloon. And when I wasn't hanging onto the ropes for dear life, I was terrified. The whole thing could burn up or blow up. What am I doing here?
Isn't this fantastic?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, Clarence, you have to learn to live, to pit your mind and body against the elements. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, I was afraid you'd be bored.
Bored? No, no.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Clarence. Tomorrow, let's do something really exciting. Count to seven. Now, just make sure you clear the aircraft, you see, and then pull.
Look, Penny.
Oh, you adore this?
But supposing the parachute doesn't open?
That's negative thinking. Negative thinking.
Yeah, but what if?
Now, Clarence, these parachutes are packed by experts, and they're very closely supervised. And if your chute doesn't open, why, the man loses his job.
Oh.
Now, you're holding the ring. See, now I'm going to give you just one little push.
Penny!
I'll be coming right after you!
No!
I'll have us a little foothold chopped out in just a couple of shakes, Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
Cold, are you, darling? Well, that's because you aren't moving. Now, we'll be on our way soon.
Oh, that's great.
Only 1,000 feet more to the summit.
1,000 feet more?
Well, we could have gone up the safe and simple way, but I know how you despise the routine and the ordinary.
I don't exactly despise...
No, Clarence, don't look down. Look up. What an accomplishment. To climb up the sheer face of the rock. You look bored.
Who, me?
Oh, my dearest old boy, I know you. How can we make this more exciting?
More exciting?
I know. We'll do it in the dark. This is what spelunking is, darling. Cave exploring is just like mountain climbing. In the dark. Isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is.
Now, we must be positive, absolutely positive, not to take a wrong turning, you see, and that's so easy to do. Most of these tunnels and passages have never been explored. Why, we could be lost forever. Mm. Stay close to me, darling.
Where are we?
Well, I think we're at the rim of a simply, enormous abyss. I don't know how far down the bottom is. Let me drop this rock. Well, I guess there is no bottom.
How is an idea born? I don't know. It seems one minute it didn't exist, and the next, why, there it is. There are those who say the idea was lurking about in the subconscious all the while. Well, at any rate, there it was. The idea, the thought. The concept that I had to kill Penelope. And this was nothing that I would have to analyze, consider, or debate. I was going to do it. I have to do it. I can't live this way. Indeed, this way I would be dead long before my time. And so, actually, I'm going to kill this impossible woman in self-defense. Yes, you certainly did.
Oh, the ugly brute. See how his friends have gathered round to finish him off? Let me bag a few more. More. Oh, hold the boat steady, old boy. Oh, that was a feast, my friends. Is there anything more ugly than a shark? Well, enough fun for one morning. Let's head for home.
It has to be an accident. Anything else would arouse the suspicions of the police. Now, we could have an accident right here. I could throw her overboard. It's too far to swim, and besides, sharks. But that's no good. I definitely have to be somewhere else when it happens, and therefore beyond suspicion. Besides, look at her. I mean, if it came to it, she could throw me overboard. But I know she'll want to take the boat out again tomorrow. And, then, we shall see.
Try some yak butter, dear. I understand it's fantastically low in cholesterol.
Thank you, my dear.
Ready for some sport this morning?
I thought I would play some golf.
Golf? Clarence, old man, time enough for golf when you're in your 80s.
Well, an old friend from the service is in town, and we agreed to meet for a couple of holes.
Okay. Why don't you boys have your fun? I can take the boat out alone.
Which is exactly the idea. My darling, while you were deep in slumber last night, I was working on the boat. I cut out several very large timbers in the hull, and then I replaced them. But they will not hold too well. And by the time you get out to your favorite shark hunting grounds, some 3 or 4 miles offshore, the vibration of the engines and the pressure of the water should knock them out, and the boat will be instantly swamped. Well, accidents happen, and I'll be playing golf. Who would suspect me? So, I went to the club. The starter placed me into a foursome. I played my 18 holes. I established my presence on the golf course, and then I went home to sit and wait for, let us say, word from the Coast Guard. I was quietly reading and listening to some music when I heard a car pull up. Aha, here comes the tragic news. I shall be properly shocked.
Hello, darling.
Penny, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I live here.
I thought you'd still be shark fishing.
Oh, Clarence, I had the most fabulous adventure. You should have been there.
What happened?
Well, there I was, 5 miles out, and the water was literally solid with sharks.
Yes?
Yeah. I was potting away at them with my rifle when suddenly, I don't know how to describe it, I was in the water.
Did you fall out of the boat?
No! Suddenly there was no boat. It was as if the bottom had fallen out of it.
But the sharks?
Well, there I was in the water, and I was still holding the rifle, and the shark was practically at my elbow. I kind of rapped him on the nose with the rifle butt. That must have scared him away.
Yeah, but the other sharks?
Well, obviously, those fellows weren't paying any attention to me. They were much too busy feasting on their wounded friends.
What did you do?
Oh, I started swimming away from there in a hurry. Fortunately, a Coast Guard boat had spotted me, and just in time, too.
What could have happened to the boat?
Well, it's on the bottom of the ocean, old sport, I guess. We'll never know. Some salad, old chap. It's a special Southern Pacific algae, and it's garnished with plankton. You won't get better protein anywhere.
Yeah, thank you, my dear. I'm not hungry.
Oh, I'm worried about you, old man.
No. I'm fine.
Uh-huh. Aren't you coming down to the Oval?
No, dear. I'm too nervous to watch your race.
Oh, it's fantastic sport.
But you go around those curves at 90 and 100 miles an hour. Well, it's too much for me.
Oh, that's nothing.
I wish you luck, dear, and I wish you would quit racing. Well, she may quit after today. Last night, while she was asleep, I arranged matters with the stock car she races. You know those lugs that hold the wheel to the axle? Well, I filed some of them down. And given the strains of high-speed driving and turning, the wheel should fly off. And at 90 miles an hour... Wait, the race should be on now on one of those stations, Harry.
Well, here we go into the last 10 laps, folks, where we separate the men from the boys. And I should say the girls from the women. Because the leader in this race so far is Penny Meadows Porter. And what a race she has run. Smart, bold, all out. Hell-bent for leather. Yes, sir, she has beaten off challenge after challenge by the best and the most daring drivers in the business. And here we go. She's heading into the far turn. Dead man's bend. And watch her take it. Wait, something's wrong. A wheel. Her left front wheel, it is just blown off. And her car is out of control, and she's going to... No!
Hello, darling.
Penny, you're all right.
Of course.
I heard it on the radio. I came over here as quickly as I could.
Oh, I'm fine. Doc just wants to look at some x-rays. But I could get out of bed this minute and go right home.
The car was a total wreck. What happened?
Well, we'll never know. It burned up. Exploded.
And you were in it. And you survived.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm the penny that keeps turning up.
Yes, but the longest road has a turning. A sinking boat, a burning car. Sometime, somehow, her luck has to run out.
Or does it? Some folk are fortune's favorites. They survive, they come through. Well, all this is awkward for Mr. Clarence Porter. If only his wife would die, so that he can resume the lifestyle he yearns for. Well, he's cooperating. He's doing everything he can to ensure she has a lethal accident. But fate just won't cooperate. Well, we're only a few moments away from Act Three.
Buick's 1976 Century Regal is the most luxurious midsize car Buick builds. But it's also got a practical side. In fact, it makes a concession to practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Regal, it's got the spirit.
T has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help. The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T, or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion and American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
My daddy loves me. I went to the zoo once with him. He tickles me a little. It's because it's long, wide, and it's fun to go with your dad. A little lunch. We had fun and we played some games. When he lies down on the rug, I hop on him and I punch him. Then he'd be silly to me. We went to the park and we ate some french fries and some hamburger. He does nice things and stuff. He's a tickle monster sometimes.
It takes so little of you to give so much to them. Give your children everything. Give them your time.
He should love you and hug you forever.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
They say the pitcher that is brought to the well too often is sure to be broken. If you will permit the analogy, that's what Clarence Porter is trying to do with his wife. He has arranged for a series of deadly accidents, but from each one, she skips away unscathed. Now, which will prevail? Clarence's persistence or Penelope's luck?
Darling, would you mind turning on the TV? There's a special documentary.
Uh-huh. Anything you say, old sport. Oh, my goodness!
What happened?
Well, I touched the on button, and I felt this little tingle in my fingers. What happened to the set?
What happened to the set? It burned out. That's what happened to the set. And that tingle in your fingers? You know what I did? I wired the on button right to the power supply, directly, and without insulation. And so when you touched it, you'd get the full load. There's almost enough voltage in there to run the electric chair. And all you got was a tingle in your fingers. No, there has to be a better way. There has to be. Oh, my, the view from here is fantastic.
Oh, it is, Clarence. You can see for miles. I didn't know you were a nature lover.
Now, dear, let's stand back. We're at the edge of the cliff. We're too close.
Oh, you know me. How very careful I can be.
But that's a drop of 4,000 feet, my darling.
Oh, really, old sport? You mustn't worry so much. Oh, what splendid colors on those hills.
Penny.
What's that?
Look out.
Oh! I'm falling!
This
This time, I have to win. Last night, I came here. I removed some rock, and I filled in the space with earth so it would look solid. But it's not. And the minute she stepped on it, she would go right through, and I maneuvered her so that she would walk right there. And now she's gone over the side, a sheer drop of 4,000 feet to the jagged rocks below. Her luck finally has run out.
Hello, darling!
Penny, where are you?
Look down! Just over the side! Now be careful! I managed to catch hold of this branch!
What do I do now? What else can I do? It's just not meant to be. That's all. I can't kill her. Because she obviously can't be killed. And I will simply have to reconcile myself to my fate. And live a clean, healthy, outdoor life. Please, believe me. I said that and I meant that. And I would have stuck with it. But one morning, there was a knock on the door. Oh.
Ah, yes. Oh.
It's
Mr. Stretch and Mr. Chadwick. May we come in? Thank you. Lovely, lovely home you have here, Clarence.
Oh, thank you. Won't you gentlemen sit down? Drink?
Surely by this time, Clarence, you must know that Mr. Chadwick and I never drink on the job.
Oh. You're here on business.
Precisely. You see, owe us a sum of money?
Yes, I know.
And you asked for time so that you could make a suitable match?
Yes. Well?
And so?
I just can't ask my wife for that kind of money.
My boy, your wife has it.
But she isn't going to give it to me. I mean...
Clarence, that is your problem.
But...
Unless you want Mr. Chadwick and me to make it our problem?
No. No, I'll see to it. You'll get your money.
Of course we will. Now, can we set a date?
Well, soon.
Soon. In that case, you will hear from us. Soon.
And there it was. I had my choice. I could go to her and say, I need $50,000. And she would ask, why? And if I told her, she'd probably divorce me. And then where would I be? Or I could kill her and inherit. But maybe she would let me have the money. Maybe if I put it to her in the right way. Darling, suppose a very dear friend of yours, someone very close to you, needed a considerable sum of money. A matter of life and death.
Well, old sport, why was the money needed?
Supposing he had squandered the money.
Oh, we all make mistakes.
Supposing he had lost it betting on horses and roulette.
Oh, say no more.
And the underworld was after him to make good.
Such a person is beneath pity, even contempt.
Well, not necessarily.
Now, Clarence, did you want to help some friend of yours?
Well?
Oh, Clarence, you're so generous. I'm so naive. I mean, keep away from people like that.
Yeah. But he's really a very nice person.
Such a person would not be allowed in my home.
Now I have to kill her. But how? I've done everything. Maybe it's true. She can't be killed. No, can't be true. Anyone can be killed. I'll point the gun at her. I'll pull the trigger. That's going to do it. But I'd better prepare for it. I waited for a rainy night so I'd be harder to recognize. And I stole over to a neighbor's house. They were an elderly couple. I stood outside their living room window. I made a slight noise. I heard the lady call out.
Who's there?
I could see how frightened she and her husband were. I watched as he picked up the phone. Good. That's exactly what I wanted him to do. Then I stole away to another house. A woman lived there, alone.
At this house, I actually broke the lock on the back door before she heard me. From there on, it was plain sailing. I had established what I had to establish, the presence of a prowler in the neighborhood.
I got it. Hi, it's the sheriff.
I do, Miss Porter. Mind if I come in?
Oh, please do.
Evening, Miss Porter.
Anything wrong, Sheriff?
Well, I'm afraid so. Folks around here have been complaining about a prowler. You been out tonight? You seen anyone, Mr. Porter?
No. I wasn't out. I've been in all evening.
The Jeffersons seen him, so the Watsons and old Miss Blake.
Hmm. What does the man look like?
I said they seen him. That don't mean they seen his face. They seen someone prowling about. Miss Blake says he actually forced open a back door, but her screams brought some other neighbors running, and that scared him off.
Hmm. Well, we haven't. We haven't seen anyone.
Well, just keep your doors and windows locked, folks, till this is over.
Oh, I don't think I'd be afraid of him, Sheriff.
Ma'am, with all due respect, he's probably armed. Now, just be careful, will you?
Well, now to do it. I bought the revolver, a big .38. Do the job right. I needed an alibi, but that was no problem. I informed Mr. Stretch of my requirements. And since it was in his interest as well, a very respectable gentleman was found who would swear we had a business dinner together in the city. And so only the deed remained. And the deed, well, it was simple. I thought I would agonize over it more than I did. She was sitting in the library, just reading. I approached her, and she said,
"Why don't we have a glass of milk, old chum?"
Those were the last words she ever said. I drove to the city, and I drove back late that night. There was considerable activity in my home, as you might imagine. The police were there. And I must say, I gave the impression of being terribly surprised.
I'm so sorry for her and for you, Clarence.
Doctor, it's terrible. Where's the sheriff?
He said he'd be right back. He may have some evidence.
What happened?
Well, you know there's been a prowler, and I suppose she surprised him, and he killed her.
Any clues, any idea of who this animal could be?
The sheriff's working on it, but that's not so important anymore.
No, how can you say that?
Well, I say that because she was dying.
What? Who? Who was dying?
Penny. She didn't want you to know.
I don't understand.
Well, a few weeks ago, when she crashed in the stock car race...
Oh, you mean she received an injury that...
No. But I had her in the hospital, and I was taking tests. And just, well, we discovered something. It seemed she had acute myeloid leukemia.
I don't understand.
And nor do I. Nor does medical science. It's a quick and subtle and fatal disease. Why, how, who knows? You're perfectly all right one day, and then suddenly it hits you, and within a few weeks you... Well, you're dead.
And she had this?
Yes, Clarence. She didn't want you to know. She was losing ground so rapidly, she would have died within a few weeks.
No. Oh. No,
Mr.
No.
Porter.
Sheriff.
Mr. Porter, I'm going to arrest you for the murder of your wife. And everything you say can be used against you.
What do you mean? Arrest me? On what grounds? Why would I want to...
You'd know that better than I would. Now, last night, I come to your house in the pouring rain. I says, "There's a prowler. Might you have seen him?" You said you hadn't been out. I had seen that you had mud on your shoes. Now, I said nothing, awaiting further development. Now, this prowler left footprints beneath the windows of three houses in the neighborhood and your own house. Now, we got cast of them shoe prints. Now, earlier this evening, I examined the shoes with the mud on them. The ones you wore last night. They fit to a T. Now, will you talk to us now? Or later, Mr. Porter.
waited till later. But they broke him down, or he broke himself down, just thinking he had tried so hard. And he didn't have to do anything. You shouldn't do anything either, until I return in just a few moments.
Army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrow today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the army.
Text for today's little sermon is from Mr. Clarence Porter himself. How ironic of fate to teach us a lesson after we have no further use for it. How wise Mr. Porter is now. But what good is his wisdom in the prison laundry where he shall labor the remainder of his natural life? We hope you've learned a lesson. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Marion Haley, Leon Janney, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I decided to kill him. I purchased the knife. I went to the apartment, and I killed him. You must accept it, Morris.
No.
Oh, poor Morris. Poor, loyal, loving Morris.
You mean you killed him? You really, actually killed him?
Now, please, you mustn't feel so badly.
I'll get you a lawyer.
Now, please, Morris, not your son-in-law.
Sheldon's a wonderful lawyer.
I don't want a wonderful lawyer.
Why not?
He might get me acquitted.
That would be bad.
I'm guilty. I must pay for my crime.
Bond, is there anything you need?
Solitude. I must compose the speech.
What speech?
When the judge will say, Vaughn Lemire, do you have anything to say before sentence is passed upon you? I intend to be ready.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOI in Portland, the time, 12 midnight.
CBS News. Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau has ordered strict wage and price controls to counter the country's 11% inflation rate. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Trudeau's wage and price guidelines have already gone into effect. Wage increases will be limited to 10% a year for all federal government workers, all professionals, and all workers at companies which employ more than 500 people. Price hikes will be limited to increased production costs. They will apply to Canada's 1,500 largest companies, many of which are American-controlled. Portugal's new Prime Minister, Admiral Azevedo, warned his country last night that it is teetering on the brink of economic failure. Azevedo said the nation's gold reserves are gone, the government is operating at a huge deficit, and more than 300,000 people are unemployed. Azevedo promised higher taxes, higher prices at home, and restricted imports. He blamed the situation largely on the political unrest that has been going on most of this year. Even as he was speaking, there were new demonstrations, as John Lawrence reports.
In Lisbon, a mass rally of extreme leftists called for the downfall of social democracy and demanded the ouster of what they described as reactionary elements in the military. Fascism is rising again in Portugal, a leader proclaimed, and must be driven out. Other demonstrators gathered around an army camp a few miles from the capital to support the left-wing commander of an artillery base. The new military council here has been replacing officers with ultra-left-wing views. In the northern city of Braga, several thousand anti-communist demonstrators marched through the rain to support the government's policy of enforcing military discipline. John Lawrence, CBS News, Lisbon.
More news after this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Alabama Governor George Wallace continues his visit to Britain, meeting today with Conservative Party leader Margaret Thatcher. The governor has already met with Prime Minister Wilson. Reporters ask Wallace, who is an undeclared presidential candidate, if he would continue American policy toward Moscow and sit down and talk with the Soviets.
Yes, I would talk with them, as you say, the French word. They ought to put it so where people can understand what they're talking about. I don't ought to know what the taunt is, and I don't think the average man...
How would you define it, Governor?
Huh?
How would you define the taunt?
I define taunt as a highfalutin word. They ought to say get together, you know, policy of trying to get together and discuss problems so that we might ensure world peace.
Wallace also told reporters that his health is no problem. He was crippled in an assassination attempt in the 1972 presidential campaign. President Ford is off on another trip today, visiting Hartford, Connecticut for some GOP fundraising events. Mr. Ford is expected to try to win support for his $28 billion tax and budget cut proposal. An administration official says the White House has compiled a list of $28 billion in proposed budget cuts. It is now being circulated privately to cabinet officers and agency heads for their comment before it is submitted to Congress. Now this message.
Hi, Mike Roy here with Denny Bracken.
And, of course, we have the word on what's happening on the Cook Thing tomorrow all over the CBS radio network. By the way, Chef, what is the word?
Three words.
Oh?
Chicken roll-ups.
One, two, three. Yes, that's three words.
It's a secret here. It's an elegant dish you'll want to serve to company, and so I'd like to have everyone sitting on the edge of their radios tomorrow paying complete attention.
We're not going to have to put you on the rack and squeeze the secret out of you, huh? You're
going
to spill it all.
Uh-huh.
Right here tomorrow on the Cook Thing on CBS Radio's network.
In God we trust. America speaks. George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God." Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Typhoon Elsie fulfilled weather predictions today in Hong Kong and hit the harbor with 100 mile an hour winds. Ships were pulled from their moorings and at least 14 people so far are reported injured. An early season storm has dumped a foot of snow in the Rockies and forced closing of highways in Yosemite National Park in California. More snow is forecast for parts of Montana, which already have nearly a foot. The weather was just the opposite east of the Mississippi yesterday. Indian summer reported stretching from Nebraska all the way to the Atlantic coast. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.